This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Yeah, that was another fresh new tune from King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, one of the, like Daryl said earlier, like one of the most hardworking bands out there, with O.N.E.
Yeah, I remember that year in 2017, 2018, where they released four albums in a year. I think the only thing that could save 2021 if they release 8 albums in a year. So
Don't dare them, Daryl.
You're locked into The Pulse with Daryl and Hanif. And our first story of the day is on mental health during the pandemic. Of course, the government announced that MCO 2.0 will be extended till February 18th in all states in Malaysia, apart from Sarawak. Mm. And I think now more than ever, you know, this, with no light, especially at the end of the tunnel, I don't think anyone in Malaysia know when this would end, right? Essentially, yeah. I think right now, especially a reflection of our mental well-beings and how we are taking of ourselves spiritually is really counts. You know, a lot of people have solutions to it. You know, stuck in isolation at home in quarantine, you have books, you have movies, you have art, and music is also part of that conversation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Music, of course, as a means of emotional relief. A bit of a history on this while reading up about it. It's actually practiced as early as the 19th and 20th centuries. However, it wasn't until after World War II, with soldiers returning from battle, that the concept of music therapy became more seriously studied from a medical perspective.
That's the thing about music, right? I think like, especially if you live alone, sometimes, you know, to break the silence, you need that music, right?
Yeah, and people, not just music, right? Sounds, people break it with many different things. Some listen to podcasts. I know of one person that listens to white noise. but then again, at the end of the day, you know, are we using this kind of solutions as a distraction, or does the sounds actually have a scientific well-being on our health?
Yeah, it's probably that, right? Yeah, but we'll see.
Listening to music, of course, I don't know. I listen to a lot of instrumental stuff, lots of chill hop, lots of jazz to kind of, I don't know, I kind of treat music as a background, especially when I'm home alone, just as a background and I'm doing my other stuff. But I know people that really just listen to music, put on a vinyl, sit down in a chair and just sit there for 5 hours. That can be a thing as well.
Yeah, something that I so far can't do yet, but I think, yeah, maybe when I'm older I'll be able to do that.
Or maybe if MCO 2.0 extends to, you know, ooh, who knows when. Of course, music is therapeutic. It does trigger the release of dopamine and serotonin to lift our spirits. And it's not a new concept. If you're a regular listener to the show, we've done a bunch of stories covering how music can lift our spirits. And, you know, just to recap and to introduce again this concept of mental health and mental music therapy, we have on the line Dr. Indra Selvaraja, our resident music therapist, and where she gives us a rundown of her thoughts on how the music therapist and music psychologist sphere has changed since the MCO. Welcome to the program, Dr. Indra. Just to start off things, how has your work as a music therapist, you're also a music psychologist and educator, how has it changed during this MCO and pandemic? I know a big thing in today's age is virtual therapy sessions.
So thank you so much, Daryl, first of all, for having me on the air. And you are right in saying that the pandemic and MCO has necessitated many changes. The main shift has been towards teletherapy or virtual music therapy, which had to happen overnight. We were very careful in UPM to, first of all, monitor the research that was incoming and to try and set up our teletherapy practices according to best practice recommendations from countries that have an established use of teletherapy, such as the US, and to make sure that we informed our own setting up of teletherapy practices based on what we understood seemed to work best. We also needed to ensure that a lack of familiarity with technology would not be a barrier for patients to access therapy, because as you can imagine, people are used to music therapy being done through a face-to-face regular interaction. And suddenly this shift to a virtual setup was something that was very unfamiliar. And so our priority was to make sure they were comfortable using technology to interface with us in music therapy. And in UPM, we conducted numerous trainings and also sought the help of experts from the American Music Therapy Association as well as World Federation of Music Therapy.
Yeah, it's a new normal we all have to get used to, right, during these times.
Absolutely, and we're still trying to get used to it.
Of course, of course. We've done a couple of stories, Dr. Indra, on how studies shown that music can help us cope with, you know, feelings of fear and loneliness, both both much needed, you know, both apparent in the community during this unprecedented times. Can you just give us a rundown then? How can we use music effectively to combat this? Is there a right way of doing things?
Well, at the moment, what we find music's most important purpose is really to create a connection, to bridge the social distancing. Because we can use virtual music therapy, we can use technology to create opportunities for social interaction and engagement. That's one of the things that a lot of people, if you look in the studies, you look at the concerns over mental health, side effects of the pandemic, people are struggling because they have lost a lot of important social connection. So we now have a lot of virtual choirs, musical ensembles on social media that are available. And UPM has been working with organizations such as the Alzheimer's Disease Foundation Malaysia and various nursing homes to offer teletherapy services for dementia patients. And this is because this group is particularly vulnerable. You can imagine, even for us who are able to go out minimally, of course, to run errands, we do have some degree of interaction still, although we may be mostly at home. But for patients with chronic illness, especially those who are elderly with illnesses like dementia, even Parkinson's disease, they are even more limited in terms of their mobility and their access to people outside their homes. So we realize from the research and even from the requests coming in from some of these dementia care organizations that they were very, very concerned about these group of people. So we actually set up teletherapy activities for dementia patients to increase positive bonding between the dementia patients and their family members and caregivers. And this also meant that we could help to improve their quality of relationship and their opportunities for positive communication. This was really, really important. We wanted to target groups that were particularly isolated and would be more vulnerable to the social distancing.
Right.
We also know from the research there's a lot of reports already of an increase in depression because of that prolonged social isolation. And that is one of the reasons why we decided to focus on that as a priority. On the other hand, there are other ways to use music to increase coping. In fact, recently I conducted a couple of sessions for university students, because you can imagine with all this online learning, and a lot of students are trying their best to keep up with their studies. But we know that for many of these students, they are struggling. So the request actually came from medical students and engineering students from one of our government universities. And I was actually conducting a session to get to know what their needs were. And we found that music was important to help them to actually develop self-care routines as an outlet for self-expression, and also help to improve their quality of sleep so they can be more relaxed and they would decrease their anxiety. Otherwise, they cannot actually rest properly, and they need that. And also to increase their physical activity and to encourage them to exercise and stay healthy. So there are many, many things that we can do for ourselves using music to create self-care routines to help us to navigate through our work, our home duties, as well as to help structure our days. And of course, everyone knows that music is a wonderful hobby. And there have been studies in the UK that talk about how there was an increase of people who have been using their lockdown time to learn musical instruments. And I think that's a fantastic way to use music for their own self-care.
For sure, for sure. Dr. Indra, diving a little bit deeper into, you know, music consumption, the trend during the pandemic over the last year and this year as well has seen an uptick on, you know, classic and classic songs from the yesteryears. These are numbers based on the streaming sites, at least. In your opinion, how does nostalgia or, you know, invoking good memories help maintain a good mental health?
So the beautiful thing about music is very often we have a personal connection to certain songs because they have memories that will trigger a variety of connections. We call this reminiscence. And reminiscence is really important, because if we listen to a song and it evokes a memory of the past, which has a lot of positive associations. So perhaps when we listen to a song that was a special song between friends, or some people may connect with music because this music reminds them of a particularly happy occasion. That kind of memory trigger and association will help to bring back the flood of feelings and emotions that allow us to release those positive sensations in that moment. And that is functional. In fact, that is something we use in music therapy. Because if we can connect people back to their, not just their happy memories, but also their strengths and times in their life when they were able to overcome difficulties. In fact, I have used music in this way before to help people who have suffered neurological impairments to revisit certain memories that remind them of times in their life when they overcome difficulties and they have been able to live through struggles and emerge strong. That actually helps them to also rediscover their strength. So music as a form of reminiscence is actually something that's really, really powerful. And it's not surprising that right now there has been a lot of interest in classic songs from yesteryears. And I think that is actually a wonderful way to help to support our mental health.
Yeah, that's great. But also, I'm also really wondering about, you know, whether it's really the music that's affecting our mental health, or is it the act of listening to music? You know, sometimes people listen to it for distractions.
So very often, what actually creates this positive effect is our reaction to the music and the connection to the music that it ultimately triggers. The quality of response really depends on how strong the connection is. A lot of times, people who like music, people who have had past experiences playing music, using music in some form, are probably going to find that they have a stronger response. So really, music is a trigger, music is a stimulus, and it provokes a particular response from us, and that is what elicits the therapeutic benefit.
Doctor, have you noticed a musical behavior change since the introduction of the COVID-19 measures, you know, through your clients or even for yourself personally? Do you find that you are listening to music differently during these times?
One thing is for sure, perhaps it's because it's part of my job, so you could say it's an occupational hazard, but I have been exploring a lot and going a lot into teletherapy, as you can imagine, for purposes of reaching out to patients, clients who are vulnerable. But also I found that because it became a personal challenge for me to learn as best as I could, as quickly as I could, to use music therapy through virtual means to reach out, it has also shaped my expectations and changed the way that I see how we can improve access to therapy. And I'm not just talking about music therapy, but even to other mental health support services. I think technology has become such an important tool right now. And I have learned to appreciate and respect it all the more because I keep telling my husband, I said, thank God that all this is happening. If it had to happen, it is at a time when we do have internet, that we do have all this connectivity, because I can't imagine how much worse it would be minus the technology.
Yes, that's for sure.
But of course, one of the things that we have been very careful to look into as well is, as much as I'm introducing some of these new things to patients, and I want to make sure that the quality of the interaction is maintained as much as possible so that they are not seeing a drop in the kind of services we are able to provide them. On the other hand, it has meant that I also have challenged myself to embrace the technology in ways that I do know it works. And I have a wonderful team of students in UPM, and we do a lot of training and simulation among each other. So we've tried it on ourselves first. So you could say that we've used it as, you know, we use ourselves as guinea pigs. And once we have been able to do that and know that it really can be delivered effectively, only then have we conducted these sessions with the patients.
That's great.
So yes, my response to music therapy, as much as my use of music as therapy, has changed a lot. But it has mostly been enhanced through all this availability of technology.
Music therapist and educator Dr. Indra Selvaraja giving us her thoughts on how music can help lift our spirits. Thank you so much for your opinion as always. Let us know what you listen to lift your spirits. You can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. I listen to a bunch of things, but Hanif, let's start with you. What do you listen to?
Of course you're going to ask me, right?
Of course.
Well, if it's to lift my spirits specifically, I listen to, I guess, pop music. music, top 40 stuff, upbeat music. Yeah.
Upbeat, and yeah. I, on the other hand, like I said before, I listen to a lot of stuff, but one genre that really gets me, that really never fails to lift my spirits, is reggae.
Ooh.
I mean, it's a genre that's hard to be sad with, you know, around the natural form of the music is happy.
Yes, and it's also calming, right? Calming in a more relaxed way. It's like, yeah, you know what I mean?
It makes me feel like, you know, I'm dancing by the beach and
yes,
stuff.
Yes, there's always that vibe, yeah.
So here's a reggae tune to play us out. This is British band Gentleman's Dub Club. A new one from them. This one's a track called Honey. Do stay tuned. This is The Pulse, only here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.